Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Are we happy to be in the house of the Lord this day? Hallelujah. I praise God for that flag worship ministry, man. You know, I remember when there was just a few of them. There was just like two or three of them. Now there's so many of them, there's a flag nation. They became a nation, y'all. Praise God. I see my buddy Rose in the house. Praise God. How you doing, Rose? Hallelujah. Praising God this morning. I want to start off this morning first, guys. Is it okay with you guys if I start off with a praise report? Is that all right with y'all? Okay. Even if it wasn't, I was going to do it anyway. So as most of you guys know, my grandma, she was a victim of a stroke a couple of weeks ago. And she's 81 years old, okay? And she had a full-blown stroke, full hemorrhage in her brain. She ended up getting, she was paralyzed on one whole side from the top of her head down to the soles of her feet. And I remember when I went to go see her, I could see the paralysis a bit in her eye, in her face. And you can hear that as she spoke, even though it was coherent, you can hear the fatigue in her voice at the end of every sentence. I just had to tell her. I said, Grandma, just stop talking. Stop talking. Save your strength. I'm just glad to see you. I'm glad to see you alive. And I remember it was 2 weeks ago yesterday, because it was a Saturday evening as I was preparing to come into services that Sunday. But God, guys, let me tell you, God is good. God is good. Because my grandma was transferred this past Monday to a nursing facility, right? And not only was she transferred to a nursing facility because she's doing so much better, guys, I'm telling you, she's already walking around that facility. She's walking around and she feels like she's back in the block, right? The whole floor is all Puerto Ricans and Dominicans because it's the Bronx, you know? What do you want to do, okay? She's going around. She's like, yeah, I'm talking to this lady. I'm talking to that lady. Man, the other night I ate arroz con habichuelas. And I was like, man, this woman's eating better at a nursing home than me. Said, my wife and I, we're just trying to figure out what to do by the time we're done working and done with ministry. We're just like, throw some water and some ramen noodles. And we're like, praise God for this, Lord. They nourish our body and keep our sodium down in Jesus' name. All right? But Grandma's doing great, guys. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to start off in the Word of God. You heard the verse a little bit earlier, Kenny. I keep wanting to say Kelly, and that's a bad thing. Kenny elaborated on it so well this morning as we prepared to worship. And it's bringing us to Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 3. It says, then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. Declares the Lord. How many of us know when God declares something, that's it? That's it. That's truth. Signed off. Take it to the bank, baby. Once God declares it, it is over. That's it. It is done. All right, Pastor Shelley said, it is finished. Hallelujah. Well, he was just saying it after Jesus. Pastors are the best plagiarizers in the world. Nothing we said was original. All right? We're just saying what God tells us to say. Amen? Hallelujah. But you know, in this verse, it talks about he will raise up shepherds. And I just want to take a moment and I want to say thank you to everyone. I got reminded that it is Pastor Appreciation Month, and people have been saying such amazing things to me, and I've heard them saying it to Pastor Shelley and Pastor Mihal. But the honor and the privilege to serve as shepherds is ours, and we praise God for that opportunity. And one thing that I love about this church is that you have to be reminded it's Pastor Appreciation Month because we feel like you guys appreciate us all year long. Praise God. Praise God. I talk to some pastors and they're like struggling to get through the week. I was like, no. Nah. We come into the house of God and everybody that comes in is on one accord. And I say, praise Jesus for that. You know, they may bust my chops a little bit about my beard. But I tell people that my beard is a measure of my faith. When I shave, it represents if I got knocked down, and God reminds me that it takes less than a week for it to grow. So shall be my faith that I will not be fallen for more than a week in Jesus' name. All right? All the men out there are jealous. Horatio, I'll let you touch it later, okay? But praise God. Praise God. God will secure a remnant and he will take care of his people. Amen. And he doesn't gather us by mistake. He doesn't gather us just for the sake of gathering. He gathers us because there is a purpose in the gathering. There is a purpose in your calling. Today, we're going to be talking about how God has marked us with a mission. He has marked us with a mission. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Hallelujah. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, God. We thank you for the word that's about to come forth today. And we pray, Lord God, that you are opening up our ears, opening up our eyes, opening up our hearts, Lord God, to receive the word that you have prepared for all of us today, God. I pray that you would take control of these lips, Lord God. Take control of your vessel and let only what you want, your will be done from this altar, God. And that, Lord, at the end of the day, that everything that happens today would be like a rock in the water and the ripples would be far-reaching, God, and that you would be the one to receive all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's people say amen and amen. Marked with a mission. You know, every once in a while I'm at the altar, the military in me rises up. And I'm like, God, why you got to be so cliche when it comes to me? You got to talk about mission. But praise God, it's Mission Sunday too. Praise God, LEL, amen, for what he's doing. Gen Z for Jesus. I know God came up with that name. Man's not that clever. Gen Z for Jesus. I don't know about Jay-Z. Gen Z for sure. Praise God. But we're going to be talking about today, people have been marked with a mission. We're going to start talking about this first guy here, and he built a big boat. Most of the time, we associate this story with smiling giraffes and smiling elephants on the ark with a rainbow in the background, and we talk about the little bird in his hand and with the little olive branch. But today we're going to talk about the real story of Noah as it says in the Bible. And we may think a little bit differently about the decor we have in our children's room moving forward. But it begins in Genesis 6, beginning of verse 9. It says, "These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence." Says that God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth." I feel like today some of us can attest to what it feels like to live in an earth filled with violence. An earth filled with evil, an earth filled with just, for lack of a better term, debauchery. But, God is still in the midst. Hallelujah. God goes on as he speaks to Noah, and he says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. It says, this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door on the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower second and third decks. We ask ourselves, what in the world is a cubit? A cubit, customarily speaking, is from the tip of your longest finger down to the crook of your elbow. More or less, this would be a cubit. Notice the little hand. My wife and I and Luca, we were able to go out to see that the Ark Encounter in Kentucky a couple of years ago. And I remembered as we were approaching the Ark, it looked big from a distance. And we were like, holy smokes, that thing's gigantic. As we're getting closer, Luca's getting all excited. He's like, look, Mama, look, Dad, the elephants, giraffes, just all these animals. He was screaming at, you know, me, I'm a pastor, and I was thinking about, whoo, man, I'm praising God that there was a group of people that were inside that thing, because God knows what happened on the outside of it. And I was like, bless your innocent soul, Luca. You keep talking about those giraffes and those elephants. But as we got closer, it got bigger. We got closer, it got bigger. And we were just like, wow. Wow. Whoa. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, God had a man build this thing by hand. It took these guys years to build this thing in Kentucky with machines, cranes, power tools, the whole nine, years. And they already had a model to build it after. God had Noah build it by hand. Whew. He said, Noah, I want you to build something that's never been built before. I want you to do it with nothing but your hands and whatever it is you can come up with. I want you to prepare for something that's never been done. And I want you to do it in this much time. But did God say, hey, good luck? He didn't just give him a mission and say, go. What are you waiting for? No, he gave him a mission, and then he gave him instructions. He gave him down to the cubit, down to the very window in the ark. He even told him the paint job for the ark. God gave him everything he needed and even provided him the tools to build it. When God speaks to us, it's not vague. When God speaks to us, it's not this mystery of your faith. God is very specific when he speaks to you. If you don't hear the instruction that God has given you, it's not because he's not giving it to you, it's because you're not listening. Prayer is a two-way street. A two-way street. How many of us have gotten down on our knees or stood before God, or some of us right down on our face praying to God? God this, God that, God I need this. And then when we're done, we just get up and carry on our business. See, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. So when God gave him instruction, it was clear. It was clear. The question today is, are you listening? Are you listening to the instruction God has given you? He goes on, it says, behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish, but I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Regardless of the chaos and the confusion that's ensuing on the outside of the ark, God has made a covenant with you. God has made a promise with you. God has made a promise that even though everything else looks like it's falling apart in your life, he's making it all fall into place. Declares the Lord. Declares the Lord. As it goes on, in verse 19, it tells us, and of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark. To keep them alive with you, they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing, of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. God said, the mission that I've given you is to build the ark. I'll take care of the details. I'll take care of bringing the animals that need to be alive. Don't worry about that. Just build the ark. And notice how he says that it's two of every kind. Every bird after their kind, after every animal after their kind, every creeping thing on the ground after its kind. He didn't say, just get a bunch of animals, throw them in the ark, and we'll figure it out later. Just give me a couple million ears, we'll figure it out. You know what I'm talking about. This isn't Pokemon. Things don't just evolve and become something else from something else. God was very specific with his instruction. You bring them as I bring them to you after their own kind. As for you, take for yourself some of all which is edible and gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. So he did. There was no deliberation between Noah and God. God spoke, Noah answered. God spoke, Noah answered, and he executed the mission. Sometimes we just need to do what God says to do. But, actually all the time we need to do what God says to do. But sometimes we got to do it without deliberating. But the only way that we can be that confident in what God wants us to do is if we're walking with him. Walking with him. Then it'll be that much easier. And the story goes on in Genesis 7, beginning at verse 1. It says, then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. He says, you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. Men, stand up and be the men that God's called you to be. Because once you are the men that God has called you to be, generations will be saved. It says Noah alone I have seen to be righteous before me. Women, if it's just you, stand up and be the women that God has called you to be. And if you're married and your husband hasn't followed suit, you keep doing what God has called you to do. Because once the time comes and that man becomes the man that God has called him to be, you will already be the helper that you need to be. And God help the rest of the world when you have a man and a woman on the same page doing the work of God. Praise God. Praise God. Devil won't know what hit him. For after 7 more days, I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made. Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him to do. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. 600 years old. You are never too old to start God's work. This man, that means at about 500, started building an ark. A gigantic ark. I am 35 and have had to break down my front stairs over the last 2 months. And every time I'm done with building whatever it is that we can accomplish on those front stairs, I come home. I'm already home. I go inside and I'm like, babe, get the heating pads. That was a word for me, y'all. That was a word for me. God telling me, Raphael, get your act together. Get in shape. We got a lot of work to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been trying. The suits are getting a lot more comfortable these days. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it goes on, it says, then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean and birds and everything that creeps on the ground. And there went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Notice, God is repetitiously telling us that Noah did as God commanded. Hallelujah. God is commanding obedience in our lives. Not just in the little things, but in the big things. Not only during the good times, but in the bad times. God is calling for our obedience. It came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind. All sorts of birds entered the ark. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. When God gave instructions to Noah to build this massive structure, He never told him how he was going to close it. He never told him how he was going to close it. All he did was tell him where to put the door. Hallelujah. God just wants you to enter into his covering. Once you enter into his covering, he will shut the door behind you. And when he shuts the door behind you, he shuts it so that no devil can get in, no enemy can get in, no man can break in. Nothing can break what God has sealed. Nothing can break what God has sealed. And you know that only God can seal something to be made waterproof so that when he would flood the earth, not even a drop of water would wet the cloth of Noah. Some of us are going through storms voluntarily with a strong tower right in front of you. God is just waiting for you to walk forward. God is waiting for you to walk through that door so that when you walk through it, slam, he can shut it. And when he shuts it, finally, you will feel peace. Finally, you will feel peace. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. The water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere were under the heavens, were covered. The water continues to prevail 15 cubits higher, and even the mountains were covered. When the earth thinks that it's prevailing against you, God has you hovering over the water. God has you above the situation, above the chaos, above the confusion, above everything else is God. Some of us feel comfortable with life jackets on in the middle of the water. God didn't have the water start to rise until they were in the ark. The water didn't rise until they were in the ark. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter where you are in the situation. God could still put you in the ark before the water starts to really rise. And it continues, it says, all flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left, together with those that were with him in the ark. My friends, it's raining outside. It is raining outside. And I'm not just talking physically, spiritually. It is raining outside. And we're safe in here. We're coming to church on Sunday. We're coming to Bible study on Wednesday. Men are coming out to men's prayer on Monday. The question is, are you coming by yourself? because it's raining outside and there's a lot of people getting wet. But God has given us time to tell people, listen, I need you to come through this door with me. I want you to experience what I've experienced. I want you to feel what I have felt. I'm not giving you an empty promise saying that once you walk through the door, you'll never suffer, you'll never have tribulation, because that's a lie from the depths of hell. But I want you to know that when you come through that door and you do go through the trial, you do go through the tribulation, it won't last. It won't last. You will have peace. And even if from this day forward you suffered every single day until the day you die, because you walked through that door, the promise is one day there will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. But you have to walk through that door first. Will you follow me? It's raining. It's raining. But sometimes it's not so easy to do what the Lord calls us to do, isn't it right? Listen, I'm a pastor, and I could tell you that there are even times in my own life when I go and God tells me to do something, and I'm like, Lord, you sure about this one? It's called being human. But it's what happens next that counts the most. And I want to talk about a friend of ours. His name is Gideon. If you guys who've been wondering who's been leaving all those Bibles in the hotel, he just printed them. God wrote them. Don't worry about it. But it says that the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. As his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon says to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian?'" The angel of the Lord shows up, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is a complaint. The angel of the Lord shows up and calls you, "O valiant warrior," and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is a complaint? He says, "If you are God, where have you been this whole time? Where have you been while we've been under the thumb of the Midianites? Where have you been when our wheat was being stolen? Where have you been?" It's in those instances God has every right to be like, "I've been here the whole time. Where have you been?" But God, I love it. Whenever you ask him a question, he always gives you an answer. Right? Gideon asked a question. God gave him an answer. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Woo. Be careful when you complain to God. And Gideon's response, priceless. He says, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house." you have the gall to complain to God, then God gives you the answer, but it's not the answer you wanted. So now you make an excuse. God, I can't do what you want me to do because my family isn't well known. And on top of that, I'm the youngest in a family that is not well known. Man, we are good at coming up with excuses and compiling them to make them even more viable. And God says, I don't care about your excuses. God says, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. God says, I don't care about the status of your family. I don't care about your age. I don't care about your occupation. I don't care about anything. What I care about is your obedience. I'll take care of the rest. I am all you need. And with me, you'll defeat an entire nation as one man. Whew. God is good. And he goes on, and Gideon says to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Show me a sign, God. I'm going to translate this for you guys to modern Christianese. What Gideon just said, let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. I could tell you I am still waiting to hear what the Lord has spoken to some of the people who have told me, let me pray about it. They must be like at Zion at this point. They've been praying so long. All right? But he said, show me a sign. Show me a sign. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he says, I will remain until you return. See, it's okay to pray about something as long as you do something too. Actually pray. Actually seek out God, because when you do, God says, I'll be right here until you come back. Praise God for his patience. Praise God for his patience. Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them out on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. The angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff, the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When we're asking for a sign, God is faithful to give us the directions in order to see that sign. And once he's shown you what he needs to show you, he's gone. The angel of the Lord is gone because the message has been delivered. You ever had a UPS guy drop off a package and just stay at your door? I don't think so. Okay? Once the package is delivered, he goes on because he's got to deliver more packages. God delivers what he needs to deliver with regards to your sign and says, that's enough, I'm out. I got other people to see as well. And it continues. It says, when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he says, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord says to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." This just goes to show you how disconnected Gideon was from the Word of God. Because the Word of God told us that man cannot see the face of God and live. Gideon saw the face of the angel of the Lord and thought he would die. But God's not concerned so much with how many Bible verses you know. God isn't so concerned with how well you know the scriptures. What he's concerned with is your obedience. Because I tell you what, the devil's a better theologian than any of us, but is a devil still. I didn't make that up. That was Spurgeon. But it sounds good, right? And it goes on. It says, Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizarite. He built an altar there to remember what God had done that day. And it continues and it says, "Now on the same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. And take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down.'" We could read this quite literally because it is a literal story, a literal event in history. However, you could read this as God talking to you directly. God is telling you to start tearing down altars in your heart. Start tearing down the strongholds in your heart. And build on top of it in an orderly manner an altar to the Lord. And give that burnt offering, in this case, your living sacrifice, with the burnt wood of whatever idol it was you had in your life. Whether it be money, power, whether it be women, men, whether it be anything in your life, tear that stronghold down, build an altar to the Lord, and burn that idol up in your life. And start serving God the way he needs you to serve him. Jesus. Verse 27, it says, "Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night." God understands that it's a terrifying ordeal to carry out his will and his work. But he just wants you to do it. He just wants you to be obedient to what he's asking you to do. Listen, I am of Caribbean descent myself. I am terrified of my parents. I am 35 years old. God help me if I even think of speaking back to one of my parents. They will slap me into last year. 35. I got Gina's mom with us at home, and if I come home too late, she was like, "Oh, I was worried about you." And in my head, I'm a grown man. But praise God for that woman's life. Because you know what? Until I come home, until all of us come home into that house, man, she is praying for us. That is a praying woman. Praise God. And I tell you, my father, I have a great relationship with my father. And he's got a bigger heart than anyone I've ever met in my life. He will take the clothing right off his back and give it to someone in need. He doesn't care. But I have prayed dangerous prayers to God. And I have prayed, God, my father has been blessed. He has been overflowed with blessing in his life. But God, I will give up my entire inheritance if my father gives it all to you. I will give everything. I talk to people all the time and they're worried about inheritance. I already have an inheritance. I have an inheritance because I'm telling you right now, I don't care if you're Bill Gates, you can't write a check with more numbers than my God can write. But if my father would give it all to Christ, I need nothing else in this earth. That's dangerous to pray. What's more dangerous is where will he spend eternity? Now Gideon, he does what God has called him to do. And whenever we do something that God has called us to do, we wait to see what the results are going to be. And I can imagine that Gideon is a little nervous right now. He just tore down an altar that belonged to his father in the middle of the city. What's the morning going to look like? Well, it says, in the next morning, when the men of the city arose early, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down. And the Asherah, which was beside it, was cut down. And the second bull was offered on the altar, which had been built. Gideon had done exactly what God had asked him to do, word for word. And they say to one another, who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash himself, did this thing. And they go on, and it says that the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son, that he may die. For he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Remember, when Gideon spoke to the angel of the Lord, he said, where is God who our fathers told us about? Who our fathers told us delivered us from Egypt. Who our fathers said perform miracles. Joash was no fool. He knew that when people desecrated the altars of God, God handled that business. God handled that business. God didn't need man. God handled that business. So he says, if Baal says that he's as good as he is, if Baal is a god like he says that he is, let Baal handle it. And if not, he lives up to his name because he bailed on an opportunity to show that he's worth something. Unbelievable. And he says, if any of you try to contend for him, you'll be the ones that die. The story goes on. It says, therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he had torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. Brothers and sisters, if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it should be like a trumpet that is being blown. There should be no one who has any doubt that you are a son or a daughter of God. There is no one that should have any doubt that when you come into a room, the atmosphere has changed. So when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. Called together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, to Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, we've heard these words before. If you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, I need a sign, God. I need a sign. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken." And it goes on and it says, it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Have you guys ever walked out in a yard and your feet go through the grass, and you see the dew of the grass on your feet? How much dew had to be in that fleece to fill a bowl of water? See, when God does something in your life, he doesn't just do it to the standard. He does it to the overflowing, so you have no doubt it was God that put the dew in that fleece. But then Gideon says, "Well, that was good one. That was a good one, Lord. But do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece. And this time let the dew be on all the ground around the fleece." And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. Gideon asked God to use the same materials in the same place and yield a different result. If that was you and I doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, people would call you insane. That's the very definition of it. Doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. But I serve a crazy God. He's crazy about me and he's crazy about you. You know he's crazy. Look at the platypus. But only God can yield different results from the same situation. A lot of us have been living life day to day, going through the same cycle over and over and over, and we've been continuously running into the same walls, hitting the same stumbling blocks, going through the same problems. God's not waiting for you to change the situation. He's waiting for you to change your heart. He's waiting for you to give it to him, because if you'll want a different result, you need to give it to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change your stinking thinking. Give it to God and see how he can change your life. And it brings us back to Jeremiah. It says that, "Then I myself, God, will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their pasture. They will be fruitful. They will multiply. God will gather his remnant. He's coming for your children. He's coming for your husbands. He's coming for your wives, your aunts, your uncles. He will bring them back together to their pasture so that they can be fruitful and multiply. He will raise up shepherds over them. They will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. None will be missing." Again, if you've got kids that you've been praying for, they won't be missing. If you got husbands, wives you've been praying for, they won't be missing. You got friends you've been praying for, they won't be missing. Today's equivalent to being marked with a mission is your hashtag. Unless you stand for a hashtag, you stand for nothing. You got hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag Blue Lives Matter, hashtag All Lives Matter. You've got Republicans, you've got Democrats, you've got Trump, you've got Biden. You've got left, you've got right. You know what I've got? God. I've got God. I don't need a hashtag because he gave me a cross. He gave me a cross. And I don't need another organization to cover me because I've been covered by the blood of Christ. What we need today is to understand we have been marked with a mission. It's nice to be in these walls on Sunday, but there's people out there who need to know the truth of God's word. There's people out there who need to know and experience what true love is. There's people out there who need to know that there is hope. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, lies my God of peace, my God of understanding, my God who is the author and finisher of my life. Brothers and sisters, we have all been marked with a mission. You have all been marked to be the hands and feet of Christ. to go forth and share the good news of the gospel, to let people know that God is a good God. And I praise God for the fact that Eliel is here today, because he's going to go forth on a mission that God has sent him on for this generation. And I cannot wait to hear the testimonies of the youth that are going to be saved because of this mission. The youth that are going to give their lives to God. And not just that, their parents that are going to give their lives to God because he was obedient to the call that God has put on his life. Brothers and sisters, you are those hands, you are those feet. But right now, what I'm going to ask of you is to stand and worship God with those hands. Worship God with those feet. Because until you give it all to God, you won't be able to do the mission. So let us worship together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has done abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine in our lives. But my brothers, my sisters, we have been marked with a mission. God did not call us to gather here so we can have bowling events. He didn't gather us here so we can have barbecues. He didn't gather us here just so we can worship with one another. God called us to go out into the world, share the gospel, and let people know what Jesus has done. So when you leave this place today, leave in power. Leave with the authority of God in your life. Leave with the anointing of God over your life. And know that everywhere you go and everyone you see is there for a reason. People are consumed with the idea that these are the last days, and don't get me wrong, they are. But what good is it to learn about the last days if you don't tell everyone else that it's the last days? What good is the word if you keep your mouth shut? What good is your testimony if you keep it locked away in the deepest parts of your heart? Today, not tomorrow, today walk with God, because it's raining, the waters are rising, and God has given you an ark. Let's go out into the world and get as many people into this bad boy as we can. Because when I get to heaven and I hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," I want to be able to ask God, "God, are they here? Are they here, God? Are my brothers here? Are my sisters here? Is my husband, is my wife here? Are my friends here, God? God, you brought me a mighty long way, but we still got a long way to go." Hallelujah. Lord, we come before you today. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, God. But Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would rain down in this place right now, Lord God. Let a mighty move of your Spirit take place here tonight, God. God, let your will be done, not ours. God, use us. Use us to reach out. Use us to love the unlovable. Use us, Lord God, to reach the unreachable. God, use us for the glory of your kingdom. And God, I pray that when it's all said and done, that you and you alone would be the one to receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, all God's people say, amen and amen. Now go and be powerful. Hallelujah. Amen.